standing on the promises of Christ my King, doing violation that his friend is free. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm thanking all the promises of God.
Welcome to the radio broadcast brought to you by the Brummett Church of Christ. We are located at 6694 Highway 26, Rock Oaks, Kentucky, about 7 miles south of Corbin. We invite you to join us for services. We meet at 10 a.m. Sunday for Bible study and at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. for worship services. We also meet for Bible study at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. For more information and sermons, check out our website at brummettchurchofchrist.org. Today's speaker is Dennis Hamilton. We invite you to take your Bible, study along with us. If you have any questions or comments about today's program, you may send them to Dennis Hamilton, P.O. Box 1066, Winnsburg, Kentucky, 40769, or email them to info@brummettchurchofchrist.org.
Hello and welcome again to another study of God's Word. My name is Dennis Hamilton, and I am so thankful that you have chosen to tune us in and listen to the program this morning, and I pray that you will open up your Bibles and study along with me. It's not my intention to teach anything other than what God's Word speaks, because I have no authority, you have no authority, only God has that authority. He is the one that we are to please. He is the one that we are to glorify in the lives that we live. And, you know, and being a Christian, that is the whole goal. We are to submit our will to Him and do His will, please Him, so that one day we can hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and be able to spend eternity with Him in heaven. As I said before, my name is Dennis Hamilton, and if you all ever have any questions, you can write me at P.O. Box 1066, Williamsburg, Kentucky, 40769. Or come here and worship with us here at the Brummett Church of Christ. Be glad to have you. We would welcome you with open arms. We will sit down with you if you want us to, and we will show you in God's Word what it says and show you the answers to any questions you may have. And it's not going to be our opinion. It's not going to be anyone else's opinions, because those don't matter. It's what God has established in His Word. It's what God has confirmed in His Word. And that same word right there has saved, over the years, countless number of people that have been obedient to it. And that's what we want to continue doing today, because we know one day, and we don't know what day that'll be, we do know that Jesus Christ will return. And we need to be prepared on that day, because if we are not, it'll be a terrible day to see those who have neglected to be obedient to the gospel, that have neglected to become Christians and have made that choice in their life to serve the world, and that they will lose out on heaven for eternity and be condemned to hell, which is torment for eternity. And that's why we need to look into His Word and establish what we teach by His Word. Look into His Word also so that we can live in a way that pleases Him. There's so many in the world today that thinks that they are, "Oh, if there's no way that I could become a Christian, you know, I've lived a life that's been so wicked, or, you know, I've just been a terrible person, or I just don't have time to do it." And, you know, there's people in the world today that has that attitude toward them too as well. They had that same attitude, and we read in the Gospels, like over there in Luke chapter 15 and verses 1 and 2. It says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Now, this was concerning Jesus Christ. They were coming to him to listen to him. And look at the attitude of the Pharisees and scribes there in verse 2. "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Yes, he was receiving sinners, because they're the ones that needed to hear the gospel. Jesus there made it very clear, you know, that he came, he was the physician. You know, if you're sick, you need to see a physician. If you're not sick, you don't need one. These people need to hear the gospel. Those ones that made that comment, they needed to hear the gospel. They needed, their hearts were so hardened. And there are people like that today are still, they have that hardened heart. If you look with me also over there in chapter 19 of the book of Luke, and in verse 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Who is it that's lost? Lost in what? Lost in their sins. And that's why we continue doing that today, proclaiming the same words there that the apostles did. They went about teaching the gospel, establishing congregations of the Lord's church that he said that he would build, the church that he purchased with his precious blood. That's what we continue to do today. God will have all men to be saved. But will all men be saved? You know, that's up to them. That's their choice. They have to do it God's way now. Now, there's no other way around that. If you want to be saved, you've got to do it the way God has established in his word. And so, but will many do that? You know, that's the question. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, it says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Those words are in verse 4, "who will have all men to be saved." God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. That great love. God is love. That's what John established over there in 1 John chapter 4, that God is love. And he loved us. He loves us. He don't love the sin. The sin is what separates us from God. Isaiah established that in inspired words when he said that our iniquities separates us from him. That's why we have to have forgiveness of our sins. That's why we need to continue submit our lives to, you know, serving him and put sin out of our life. Are we going to be able to completely put it out? No. We have thoughts that we shouldn't have. We say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do at times. But we can, as faithful Christians, we can pray and say, "Forgive me, Father, I've sinned." And we can receive that. But we have to be truly repentant of what we have done there. But I want to talk about the different types of people in the world today. There are those who are unconcerned about their salvation. Now, we all know that. There are people that are certainly not concerned about it whatsoever. They go about their daily lives just like they're going to live for eternity and that there will be no heaven or hell, either one. And then you have those who think that they can live a good moral life and that's good enough to be saved without even obeying the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then you have those who feel that they're just too wicked to be saved. Those who will learn and obey the truth too are out there as well. And that's what we want to be, isn't it? You know, and we have also those who think they're saved because they are worshiping, but they're not worshiping correctly. You know, Christ mentioned this over there in the book of Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21 and 2. Look at what he said. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Oh, we've done all this for you, Lord. We've done that for you, Lord. Did you do it in accordance to his will?" Look at what he said there. They even claimed they did it in his name. But he would tell them they have not done it in accordance to what he has instructed. That's why he gave that parable in the next few verses there. He said there in verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Why did it fall? Because, what did he say? Here's these sayings of mine, but don't do them. You know, we know, James made it very clear over there in the book of James, in chapter 1 over there, that, you know, hearing the word's one thing, believing it and doing it is another. That's why he said there in verse 22 of James chapter 1, "Be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." There are a lot of people out there, a lot of sincere people in the world today that thinks they're worshiping the Lord in the right way because they're doing it their way, the way that it pleases them. That's not what matters. It has to please the Lord. Over in the Old Testament book of Leviticus chapter 10, starting in those very first few verses right there, you read about the sons of Aaron. These men right here were destroyed. They were consumed by fire there. Why were they consumed? Well, when you read those first few verses there, chapter 10 in Leviticus, it says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, who was the brother of Moses, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Why? Verse 1 explained why. They offered up strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. That's why it's important today that we do what the Lord commands us to. That right there means everything. You can't just worship God in your way, the way that pleases you. You hear it all the time. "Well, I went to this church and I wasn't feeling what I wanted to feel, and they weren't doing what I thought they should do." Are they abiding in what the Bible says? Are they going by what it says? That right there is important. That right there means everything. So keep this in mind. You know, all responsible people are lost outside of Christ. If you're outside of Christ, you're lost. That's why you have to be in Christ. How do you get into Christ? Well, when you obey the gospel, when you hear the word of God, when you believe that word, when you repent of your sins, that you're sorry that you sinned against God, and that you confess him, and then you're baptized for the remission of your sins, you are also baptized into Christ, and you put on Christ, and you can live for Christ. That's why if you're outside of Christ, you cannot be saved. So yes, all people are responsible for their own conduct too. You know, we each and every one have to work out our own salvation. Now, by working out our own salvation, it doesn't mean you go to heaven your way and I'll go to heaven my way. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's meaning that we each and every one have a responsibility to be obedient to the gospel, that we each and every one have to obey it and carry it out and do the will of the Father. Because if we don't, then we will suffer the consequences. We have to, each and every one, stand before the Lord in judgment one day. We'll each and every one have to give an account of the things we've done. And so, yes, I won't be able to answer for no one else. No one else will be able to answer for me. So that's the way it's going to work. That's what the Bible says right there. That's why we have to, each and every one, work out our own salvation. And so keep that in mind as you look through God's word and you see how that it tells us over there in chapter 2 of Philippians and in verse 12. Paul wrote this, the inspired words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation. How? With fear and trembling. Not enough of the people of the world today has enough fear of God. Not enough reverence of God. They don't honor God the way they should. If they did, the church would be packed. We'd have to continually add on to it. On the day of Pentecost, we read over there in the Acts chapter 2, the beginning of the Lord's church. The gospel began to be preached for the first time. And there are those that were pricked in their heart, and they asked what they needed to do. You know, they were sincere. Peter had and others had proclaimed the gospel. Peter answered them just the way the Spirit answers today. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And what happened? Well, when you go over there to verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Did they join anything? No. Look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. He added them when they did what? When they followed the commands of the gospel there on how to be a Christian, how to become a Christian, a follower of Christ. And that's the most important thing. Remember what we read over there in John 3:15 that Christ said, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Believing means that you're going to follow through with all his commands. Believe in him that you're not going to say, well, I can sidestep this, and or I can add a little bit here, or I can take away there. No, it means that you are going to what? If you believe in him, you're going to do what he asks you to do. Otherwise, we read over there also about the wrath of God in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The wrath of God. You know, we read over there in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. I want you to look real close at this verse right here in chapter 10. It says over there in about, starting in verse 30, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. A fearful thing. Why is it fearful? If you haven't been obedient, if you're not one of his, it will be a fearful thing. It tells us there in verse 29 of Hebrews 12, for our God is a consuming fire. Don't be consumed by the wrath of God because you have chosen not to be obedient to him. Don't be one of those that's unconcerned about your salvation. Don't be one of those that thinks that you can be morally good enough to be saved without ever being obedient to the Word of God. Don't be one of those that says, well, I'm too wicked to be saved. Be one of those that learns what you need to do and you obey the truth and you're faithful unto death. That's what you need to be doing. Over there in Romans in chapter 10, and look at verses 1 through 3. Paul noted this about his fellow countrymen. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. This should be in our prayers today, that those who are outside of Christ, those who have been obedient to the gospel, that they would be saved. That they would be saved in the way that God's word has commanded them to be saved. Look at what he says also about them. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You know, there's people in the world today that have zeal. In other words, they have that eagerness. They're very eager to serve. But are they serving the way that they should? Are they serving in the way that the Word commands them to? Look at what Paul wrote about these people. He said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Isn't this what we see in the world today? People want to go about, say, this is my standard of being righteous. No, we all have one standard. And that standard has been established in God's Word. You can't choose your way to go to heaven. You can't save yourself, no way. We read over there in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14 and verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Yeah, there's people. No, we can't establish our way of getting to heaven. God is the ruler. God rules heaven. God rules this world too. But at the same time, He's made us a free moral agent. We can choose to be obedient to Him, or we can choose to accept the consequences when we're not obedient to Him. So anything we do, we need to prove it through God's Word. Use God's Word to prove what God wants all the time. He's one God, He's creator of all, and He's a creator of man. When you read over there in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. But look what Paul said over there in Acts 17, 28 and 29. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. Paul was speaking to some over there at that time who had, they had all these different gods that they were worshiping, and they even had one to the unknown God. Paul was trying to get across to these people right here, there's only one. There's only one that is the ruler of all. And he says, for in Him we live and move. You know, we need to realize everything that we have, the very air that we breathe, the very beating of our heart, we owe to the Lord. No one else. You can say, well, I live a healthy life. I exercise. I make sure I eat the right food. That don't matter. Yeah, it's good you do that. Don't get me wrong. That is good. But it's still God that's in control of everything. God created man to serve Him. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So yes, serve God. He's the one that we are to be in subjection to. But what we see in the world today, people think they don't need God, but we have all sinned. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We're sinners. Even after we are obedient to the gospel, we still sin. That's why we need to be a faithful Christian, so that we can say, Father, forgive me. So that we can have our prayers heard. There are people today that think that their prayers are being heard, and they're not going any further than the ceiling in the room that they're in, or even if they're outside. Look at what John said over in 1 John chapter 1. He says in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, in other words, sin, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, in other words, live a righteous life, live a faithful life, serving God as He would have you to serve Him. As He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So yes, we must be obedient to Him. We must follow the pattern that He has given His holy word to serve Him, but first of all, also to obey Him and become a Christian. And when people think that their prayers will be heard, even though they're not serving the Lord, they need to remember what Peter said in 1 Peter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, Who is the righteous? The righteous is those that have obeyed the gospel and are serving the Lord. And he says, his eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And he says also, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Some would say, well, I don't do evil. Are you a Christian? Are you living the way the Lord wants you to? If you're not, then you're considered evil. You're considered a sinner, you see. And sin brings separation from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For as the body without the spirit is dead. Over there in James chapter 2, 26, so faith without works is dead also. You hear some people say, well, I don't have to do anything. I just believe and go on about my business. No, you have to show works. If you don't show works, what did it say? Faith is dead. Just like the body without the spirit, it's dead. So, yes. But we know that we have a loving God, and all he wants is the best for us. He wants us to turn from a life of sin and be obedient to him and do his will. That's what he wants. He wants us to serve him, just like he wanted the nation of Israel to serve him. And yet, time and after time, they would stray from him and be unfaithful. And just like so many today that have obeyed the gospel, and then they've turned their back on the Lord. And as the scriptures describes it over there, they escaped the pollutions of the world. And if you're one of those that have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled therein, or in other words, you obeyed the gospel and you backslid, you must confess your sins and ask for the prayers of the church on your behalf to receive forgiveness and be faithful from then on. That's 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, and Acts chapter 8, verse 22. And if you have never obeyed the gospel, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Come here and we will show you what you need to do. I'm so thankful that you have chosen to listen and study with us. And as always, you know, we invite you to come and be with us. And if you have questions, we'll sit down with you and show you in God's Word the answers to those questions. And at this time, I hope you have a good day.
What is thy, my love?